ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Chapter 10, text number is Vilakshanaha
Vilakshanaha
Stula Sukshmat
Stula Sukshmat
Dehat
Dehat
Atmekshita
Atmekshita
Svadrik
Svadrik
Yathagnir
Yathagnir
Daruno
Daruno
Dayat
Dayat
Mahako
Mahako
Anyaha
Anyaha
Prakashakaha
Prakashakaha
विलक्षणात् स्थूलात् सूक्ष्मात्
विलक्षणात् स्थूलात् सूक्ष्मात्
देहात् आत्मेक्षितात् स्वदृक्
देहात् आत्मेक्षितात् स्वदृक्
यथाग्नि दारुणोदायात्
यथाग्नि दारुणोदायात्
महको अन्यः प्रकाशकः
महको अन्यः प्रकाशकः
विलक्षणात् स्थूलात् सूक्ष्मात्
विलक्षणात् स्थूलात् सूक्ष्मात्
स्वदृक्
यथाग्नि
दारुणोदायात्
यथाग्नि दारुणोदायात्
महको अन्यः प्रकाशकः
महको अन्यः प्रकाशकः
विलक्षणः
विलक्षणः
हैविंग डिफरेंट कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स
हैविंग डिफरेंट कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स
स्थूला
स्थूला
फ्रॉम द ग्रॉस
सूक्ष्म
सूक्ष्म एंड द सटल
एंड द सटल
Deha,
Deha,
from the body.
From the body.
Atma,
Atma,
the spirit soul.
Spirit soul.
Ikshita,
Ikshita,
the seer.
The seer.
Svadrik,
Svadrik,
self enlightened.
Self enlightened.
Yatha,
Yatha,
just as.
Agni,
Agni,
fire.
Daruna,
Daruna,
from firewood.
From firewood.
Daya,
Daya,
from that which is to be burned.
From that which is to be burned.
Dahaka,
Dahaka,
that which burns.
That which burns.
Anyaha,
Anyaha,
other.
Other.
Prakashakaha,
Prakashakaha,
that which illuminates.
That which illuminates.
Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Just as fire, which burns and illuminates, is different from firewood, which is to be burned to give illumination. Similarly, the seer within the body, the self-enlightened spirit soul, is different from the material body, which is to be illuminated by consciousness. Thus, the spirit soul and the body possess different characteristics and are separate entities. Please repeat after me. Just as fire,
just as fire
which burns and illuminates,
which burns and illuminates,
it's different from firewood.
It is different from firewood.
Which is to be burned to give illumination.
Which is to be burned to give illumination.
Similarly, the seer within the body.
Similarly, the seer within the body.
The self-enlightened spirit soul.
The self-enlightened spirit soul.
It's different from the material body.
It is different from the material body.
Which is to be illuminated by consciousness.
Which is to be illuminated by consciousness.
Thus, the spirit soul and the body.
Thus, the spirit soul and the body.
Possess different characteristics,
possess different characteristics,
and are separate entities.
Purport.
It is analytically demonstrated in this verse that one should never falsely identify the ego with the material body. Such misidentification is called false ego or material illusion. The following question may be raised. Since it is commonly known that the Supreme Personality of Godhead enlightens the conditioned soul, why is the term Svadrik or self-enlightened used in this verse? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead certainly furnishes consciousness to the living entities, the living being, being endowed with the potency of the Lord, has himself the capacity to revive and expand his pure consciousness. He may therefore be considered in a secondary sense self-enlightened. The example may be given that gold or silver domes brilliantly reflect the rays of the sun. Although the light comes from the sun, the inherent properties of gold and silver can also be considered the causes for the brilliant reflection, since other substances do not possess suitable properties to reflect the sun's light. Similarly, the spirit soul can be considered Svadrik or self-enlightened. because he possesses characteristics by which he can brilliantly reflect the potency of the personality of Godhead, thus eliminating his existential situation, just as the cord or silver dome shines due to its reflective properties. A nice example is given in this verse to illustrate the different characteristics of the body and soul. Fire which burns and illuminates is always different from that which is burned for illumination. It may be said, however, that fire is present in an unmanifested form within wood. Similarly, in the conditioned life of ignorance, the spirit soul is present, though unmanifest within the body. The enlightened condition of the living entity can be compared to the act of nourishing fire within wood. Just as fire quickly burns wood to ashes, similarly the spirit soul, when enlightened, burns to ashes the darkness of ignorance. We are conscious of the body, therefore it may be said that the body is illuminated by consciousness, which is the energy or symptom of the spirit soul. Identifying the body and soul as one is just as foolish as considering fire and the wood to be the same. In both cases, the intimate circumstantial connection between fire and wood, or between the soul and the body, does not alter the fact that the fire is different from wood, or that the soul is always different from the body. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhutaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Namaste Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauranga Vicharane Nirvishesha Shramayavadi Prasacharya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radhakar Shri Vasudevi Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hukam Karoti Vachanam Pangum Nagayate Yajjapala Namah Vande Shri Guru Dinataya Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare. Just as fire which burns and illuminates is different from firewood, which is to be burned to give illumination, similarly the sphere within the body, the self-enlightened spirit soul, is different from the material body, which is to be illuminated by consciousness. Thus the spirit soul and the body possess different characteristics and are separate entities. So, in this verse describes about the body and the soul. And the nice analogy which is given is of the fire and wood. You see, like in the Vedic texts, a lot of analogies are used to describe such things, like such concepts, because analogies actually make it easier to understand. Analogies, stories. So here you can see how the fire is actually separate from firewood. Generally it is not known that fire is present within firewood. But from like various texts we can understand that actually within firewood there is fire present. And it is separate from the fire. Separate from firewood. Now that is, you know, very, anyone can understand that, you know, fire and firewood are different things. So they cannot equate the firewood with the fire. If someone does that, that is simply ignorance or simply foolishness, as described. And the firewood is to be burned to give illumination. Actually, the fire gives illumination, but when the firewood is lighted, that also gives so much of illumination. So similarly, this material body and the soul, they are two different things. As described, they are two different entities and they possess different characteristics and separate entities. So we see in today's world of gross ignorance, as described very nicely yesterday also, people, they misidentify with the body. And they take the body to be everything. And therefore, as we described yesterday, their self-interest is to actually gratify the body, because they are thinking the self is the body. So naturally, we need to satisfy the body in order to be happy, because because we are the body. So they think their real self-interest is actually to satisfy the body. So we see so what are the needs of the body? It describes the needs of the body and the soul are different. So primarily the needs of the body are to eat, to sleep, to mate, and to defend, which is based on fear. So these are the needs of the body. And we see modern civilization is simply based on satisfying these needs. Of course, we know they are doing it in much more complicated ways than the, and way much more sophisticated ways than the animals do it. This very same thing. But we see, because if people think they are the body, then simply by doing these four things, we see they are not happy. Because if they were the body, then these four things should actually give happiness. Though it does give some temporary happiness, but it does not give lasting peace and happiness. And you see how also people, they think their body and they try to, you know, try to satisfy the body in different ways. You know, apart from these four different ways, you know, like you go traveling, you do bungee jumping, this or that, simply to, because give different sensations to the body. And the body means the senses. So, these days people are also discovering there's something called the mind and intelligence. And they're finding out more about it. But actually, that is also our body. But that is the subtle body. So the subtle body is the invincible body. It is like the covering of the gross body. So you see, sometimes people, they try to find happiness by satisfying the mind, you know. Like some people, they're poets or artists or, you know, different kinds of things they like to do on the mental level, you know. And some people, they like to find happiness on the intellectual level, like philosophers, scientists, you know, great intellectuals. Like they're trying to find happiness on the intellectual level. But we see that also does not give true satisfaction, because the real thing is the soul within the body, as is nicely described here. So that is actually the identity of the person, is the spirit soul. So that actually has different needs and different characteristics. Otherwise it is just like, but due to the presence of the soul, and the symptom of the soul is consciousness, it seems like the body is actually alive. The seems like that actually the person thinks he is the body, he or she is the body, because of the consciousness of the soul. It is like a person wearing a glove, you know. But because of the hand of the person, the glove is moving. Externally it might look like the glove has life, you know. But actually, you know, it is because of the hand inside the glove is moving. So similarly, because of the soul and because of consciousness, this body comes to life, you know, so-called. Okay. But we understand from Bhagavad Gita that actually this body is dead by nature, that matter is dead. Krishna says he has two types of energy, principally three, but one is the inferior energy. And Krishna describes Bhumi Apo Nalavayu Kammano Buddhi Revacha Ahankar Ithiyana Buddha Bhava, that earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, these constitute my separated energies. So, and then Krishna has the superior energies, which comprises of the living entities. So Krishna describes that the superior energy in the material world is interacting with the inferior energy, and it is trying to exploit it. So we see, matter by nature is always dead. You know, we can see, you take anything in this world, somebody has to operate it. It just can't work by its own. You know, like even the most sophisticated computer, it has to be operated by a person. We can put it on like autopilot but somebody has to put it on autopilot. By itself, matter cannot function. The example is given of a car, you know, the car and the driver. So, you know, if a driver doesn't enter the car, just parked at the back, they will be standing there for years and years. Unless there's an earthquake or something. But they'll be parked there for years and years. So we see it is a person which actually gives life to matter. But even this simple thing, you know, cannot be understood by people these days. You know, and this is because of the influence of the illusory energy. You know, like we see Prabhupada's life, so much of his preaching would be based on this simple thing. You're not the body, you're the spirit soul. And he would be speaking to, you know, great, great scientists, thinkers, philosophers of the world. But they could not understand this basic thing, the ABCs of spiritual life. And, you know, he had to actually, you know, so much of his time he would be hammering them at this point, you know, the body or the soul. You know, sometimes we also hear Prabhupada states, like, some of you can think, all the time Prabhupada is just talking, you're not the body or the soul. But actually, one realizes this, you know, this is actually quite a big thing. So one thing is to know theoretically you're not the body or the soul, and one thing is to act on it. But you see, these days the world doesn't even know theoretically, you know, what to speak of acting on it, or what to speak of try to act on that. So from Bhagavad Gita we understand, Krishna says, that the spirit soul is the, Krishna says, is my part and parcel. So we see actually the spirit soul is active by nature, whether it is in the wakeful state, sleeping state or deep sleep, it is always active. So an intelligent person should actually contemplate that. So what are the activities of the soul? You know, if you're not the body, then the body is simply a lump of matter, and we're the soul. Then what are the activities of the soul? So we see there, like they're again, the different schools. You know. Like in some schools, okay, they agree that we are the soul, we are not the body. But then they don't know what the activities of the self are. So some schools, they simply want to come out of this cycle of birth and death, but they don't know what the positive activities of the self are. I remember once I went to the loft here, my spiritual master was giving a talk, and he gave this very nice example which I can't forget. He said, somebody asked a question about like Buddhism, and so to put it in simple words, he said it is like in Buddhism they understand that this place is a place of suffering, this material world. And desires lead to so many problems. It is like telling a person not to bang the head on the wall. To stop, just get a person to stop hitting his head on the wall. So once they stop hitting their head on the wall, now what do they do with it? So in some schools they understand that we are actually something more than the body. You know, some people they understand. But due to lack of knowledge, they do not know what the activities of the self are. So if one stops banging the head, then he will do something with his head, you know. He just can't sit like this. He has to do something with his head. So we see like the gyanis and some schools of thought, they aspire for the impersonal liberation, to merge in the Brahma Jyoti. And they do achieve that, but we see because the spirit soul is always active, it has to act. It just can't stop acting. And I can't remember where I was reading, but it was mentioned that like impersonal liberation is like, you know, it's like they give the analogy of, it is like, you know, we say in the material world, happiness is between two sufferings. So it is like when somebody, it is like if somebody has hurt his head. Okay, so now, you know, he gets it treated and everything. So for some time he'll feel happiness because that pain has gone away. But after a while, he'll figure out, you know, I want to do something with my head. So the impersonal liberation is like that. Like, you know, the jnanis and like the Mayavadi philosophers, they understand this world is a place of suffering because they have been actually, they are suffering the pangs of material existence, birth, death, old age, disease. They are intelligent enough to realize that. And they want to experience the happiness of, you know, merging in the Brahma Jyoti. So they achieve that, but once that suffering goes away, then because the nature of the self is to be active, they have to act. And that's why they fall down. That's why they come back to the material world in order to act. Because the spirit soul is always active, but due to a lack of knowledge, they are not aware of the activities of the self, of the real self. So, as in yesterday's verse, actually that is our real self-interest, is to understand the activities of the self. And so the activities of the self are in relation to the Supreme Consciousness, which is Krishna. So, you know, Krishna says in Gita that all of the jivas in this world are actually my part and parcel. And they're actually meant to serve me. So like we see in the 10th canto, we actually see the activities of the spirit soul in its perfected stage. So, you know, when we read like Krishna's pastimes, like in the Krishna book, we can see actually what are the different activities in the spiritual world. Actually, the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So, you know, in one sense, if somebody like, you know, reads the Krishna book, he'll think, okay, you know, it's just like, you know, in any ordinary thing, any ordinary affair. You know, Krishna is playing with his friends. You know, they're having a wrestling match. You know, we also do this here. You know, so we know in the spiritual world, like there. It is basically an exchange of rasas. But in the material world, the rasas are in their perverted form. And as Prabhuji was mentioning, Gopal Mishra was mentioning, that in the spiritual world, the five rasas are prominent. They are the primary ones. You know, neutrality, friendship, parenthood, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, and there are so many. They are the secondary rasas. But here in the material world, the secondary become the primary, and the primary become the secondary. So actually, so in the spiritual world is the real activities of the self, of the spirit soul. But Krishna, out of his kindness, he actually, you know. Like what we are doing in this temple is like we are practicing the activities of the spirit soul. So that's why, you know, that's why Krishna very mercifully appears in his deity form. to actually, you know, accept our service. Krishna is actually whole in himself. He doesn't need to accept our service. He's Atmanam. But in order for us to actually revive our dormant Krishna consciousness, you know, like Krishna very mercifully accepts the form of the Archa Vigrama. So that's why actually in the temple the deity is the proprietor, the enjoyer, and the controller. That's why we see that's why every temple has a chakra on top of it or a flag. Like if you go to Puri, you can see the chakra from a distance and the flag, which actually indicates that right below is the deity. So all the in a temple, all the activities are actually centered around the deity form. So we see, like, you know, from morning to night, like, you know, waking up the deities, offering bhoga, you know, offering aartik, dressing them, bathing them, then again offering bhoga, then all different activities we do, then like spreading the message of the deities. So whatever activities in the temple, they are simply centered around the deities. So this way we can actually revive our dormant Krishna consciousness. So this is like a practicing ground, you know, sadhana bhakti. And we even see, like, in very 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 exalted devotees who are like perfected self-realized souls, like Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they also have their own deities. It's not that simply deity worship is for neophytes, but we see even many many exalted devotees, they have their deities. And the deities, they're not simply a piece of stone. They actually reciprocate, you know. Krishna says, "Ye yatha maam prapadyante," as you surrender unto me, I reciprocate. So we can see, like, in the instance of Srila Madhavendra Puri, how the Gopal deity actually, you know, how Krishna came to his dream and said, "Actually, I'm stuck under a bush, you know, please take me out and worship me." And because of his pure love and devotion, he had so much love and devotion, and everything he was doing, you know, fully Krishna conscious, that again, you know, Gopal came into his dream and said, "Actually, I need, because I'm feeling very hot, I need sandalwood paste to be rubbed over me. So you please go to Puri and get it from there." And then he went to Remuna on the way to Puri. And there he came, he took darshan of Kirchor Gopinath. And he thought that actually, what was the name of the deity before? Gopinath, right? Yes. So, and actually the kheer was very famous, which was offered to the deity over there, Gopinath. So, and then the Brahman was doing the offering, so he thought that maybe, you know, I should taste some of it so that I can offer the same to my Gopal deity. And because of his, you know, pure love and devotion, actually we see that Gopinath stole a pot of kheer for him and hid it behind, somewhere behind, in the altar.
Right.
Behind the curtain, thank you. So we can see actually the deities do reciprocate. So we see for such advanced devotees, you know, they, and there's the Toda Gopinath deity, you know, which we see actually sitting down as you know, you see they actually reciprocate. But even for us, the deities reciprocate in so many ways. So for us, this is the, in sadhana bhakti, we can actually practice devotion, we can actually practice the activities of the self, activities of the spirit soul. So, you know, for an ordinary person, he'll say, you know, how come you're doing the activities of the soul? You're still acting through the body, you know. We are still actually, whatever activities we're carrying out with the body. So just like, you know, here it says, how the material body is, which is to be illuminated by consciousness. So that's why to to a person who is not Krishna conscious, actually Krishna conscious activities seem to be the same as material activities. You know, just like sometimes, you know, devotees are eating, they are sleeping, you know, they are taking a shower, you know, all these different activities. Sometimes they go for swimming. So actually it's quite bewildering for any common person, you know. Like they're going to a job 9 to 5. And they have a family. You know, but actually one has to very closely observe. Then one can see. Actually, Krishna consciousness is all about our internal state of being. That's why it's called Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because this is to, the process is to transform a consciousness to Krishna consciousness, is to be aware of Krishna, to be conscious of Krishna. So a devotee is always conscious of Krishna. And actually if one closely observes, there's a big difference actually between the consciousness of a materialist and a devotee. Because the consciousness of the materialist is simply centered around his body. There's extended selfishness and personal selfishness. So when he's simply conscious of the body, he wants to do everything for the body. You see, it's like some people, they're very, you know, everything for me. So whatever I want to do is just first my interest. I don't care about anyone else. You know, I want to satisfy my demands. So a person who is actually a bit more advanced than that, he'll think, okay, maybe I want to look after my family because it is in relationship to me. Or one who is a bit more advanced, he'll think, okay, I want to look after my community. So you say, okay, maybe I want to look after Port Phillip community. Or one who's more advanced in saying, okay, I'm a Melbournean. You know, sometimes you see there's a lot of rivalry sometimes between Melbournians and people from Sydney. You know, they very strongly identify themselves, you know, with the state, or Victoria, or Australia, or one might be humanitarian, so for the whole world, but only a certain species. So we see actually this is extended selfishness. It is in relationship to me. But one who is Krishna conscious, he does everything for Krishna. And actually that is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Like his aim is to do everything for Krishna. And so actually that is the main difference. And also it's very interesting, it is mentioned here that the self-enlightened spirit soul is different from the material body. So here is a very interesting comment. Says, since it is commonly known that the Supreme Personality of Godhead enlightens the conditioned soul, why is the term svadrik or self-enlightened used in this verse? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally furnishes consciousness of the living entity being endowed with the potency of the Lord, has himself the capacity to revive and expand its pure consciousness. He may therefore be considered in a secondary sense self-enlightened. So the example is given of a gold and silver dome. So we see actually the gold and silver dome has the capacity to reflect sunlight. Actually though the light is coming from the sun, but the gold and silver dome reflects that. So in that sense the jiva is called self-enlightened. You know, one might ask, how come it's saying that we are self-enlightened? But because we have the capacity to revive our dormant Krishna consciousness in that sense. So are there any questions or comments? Or corrections?
Chanting Hare Krishna's goodbye to revive the dormant.
That's right. Thank you. And the way one revives it is by chanting. Chanting Hare Krishna.
Keep chanting.
Thank you. Thank you. Ramsharshima Bhagavatam ki.